Thank you for joining us for a panel discussion on femtosecond-assisted cataract surgery. I'm Dr. Mark Bleacher, co-director of cataract and primary eye care here at Wills Eye Hospital, and I'm joined by several of my colleagues on the cataract service. Now that femtosecond lasers have been available for cataract surgery for over a year in both Wills and the Wills Surgical Network, I'd like to find out from our panelists how this has changed their practice and discussion with cataract surgery patients. Rich, you've had the most experience with femtosecond-assisted surgery of the group. How has this changed how you approach the pre-op discussion with cataract patients?
You know, I think it's really been an evolution, and that's what we've seen a little bit across the country. When this technology was first released, the main indications were probably for patients with advanced technology lenses, and I think that's certainly still one of the key categories. And obviously, the femtosecond laser technology lets us treat astigmatism as well. But I think the more you use it, the more you realize that for a just total cataract practice, for what I'd consider quote-unquote high-risk patients, pseudo-exfoliation, dense lenses, shallow chambers, it's really a technology that benefits those patients as well, so that over time you begin to be comfortable that it has its significant advantages for almost every patient with cataract surgery.
Great. Sid, you haven't adapted this technology yet. How is the fact that this technology is available impacted how you approach cataract surgery?
Well, I have to say, Mark, I'll say, first of all, that I believe this technology is the future, and I think it will eventually be the standard of care. But for me and my practice now, I just don't see adopting the technology for the clinical benefit that I'm going to receive from it, from my patients, and the costs associated with it, which are going to be substantial.
Okay. Mark, who do you offer this to?
Thanks, Mark. I offer this to anyone right now that's getting a premium lens, a multifocal lens, or an accommodating lens, that, and especially if they have astigmatism that's amenable to correction with the femtosecond laser. I think we're at the position with this technology similar to where we were with phacoemulsification before foldable lenses, where we're poised at the brink of really a revolution in what we can do with the femtosecond laser, the accuracy, the predictability, being able to soften the lens, and we're waiting for the lens technology to catch up. So I essentially offer it to anybody who would be a candidate. In fact, I'm working in ways in my practice in which I can offer it to everyone.
Rich, you mentioned in addition to premium lenses that it's good for patients with a number of special circumstances. Do you offer it to all those patients at this point? And if so, how is the cost covered on those non-reimbursed patients?
Sure. So one of the issues with femtosecond laser is that for advanced technology lenses, CMS allows us to bill the patient directly because of the ophthalmic imaging that occurs during the procedure. But for patients that aren't receiving an advanced technology lens, they have to have management of their astigmatism unless billing can be for billing to be able to be done. In most patients, if you look at their maps and look at their keratometry readings, they will have enough astigmatism that they'll be able to access femtosecond laser treatment and the practice will be able to bill for them. In a perfectly spherical cornea, in a patient who you think would benefit for it, you can't bill for the procedure. So the center either has to do it and eat the cost or explain to the patient that there's just not a way for them to access the technology.
Rob, do you see yourself offering this to the majority of your patients at some point, or do you think this will continue to be niche, either because of indications or ability to pay for the procedure?
Well, I think this is going to evolve, as Sid has said, over time. I think more and more we probably will be using this technology in more of our patients. I'm still sitting on the sidelines a little bit. I have some experience with a laser. I've done several cases. We're involved in a study looking at some intraocular incisions for astigmatism. I am not overwhelmed at this point. Part of that may be by the fact that the amount of experience that I have. I've read some of the studies. I know some of the things are coming out about some of the benefits of it. But at this point in time, for my patients, for the most part, I'm still sitting on the sidelines a little bit and feeling that the way we're doing things is still as good as what the laser can provide.
So, Mark, you seem to think this is going to be a growing part of what you do. If costs were no object, would you offer it to every patient now?
Yes.
Sid, if costs were no object, would you offer it to every patient?
I would have to say probably not, because I still have to look at the efficiency with which my procedures are being done. I think with technology like this at this stage, the workflow in my surgery center is definitely undermined, and I also think my surgical time is also compromised. So I have to look at the overall picture, not just can I do a one-size-fits-all approach for everybody and use the laser on everyone.
Rich, do you think this is slowing you down? Does this, have you managed to get the workflow to make this as fast as it was without Femto, or is you're willing to pay somewhat of an efficiency price for the technology?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think some of the response you heard are very apropos already. Any new technology or any, you just introduce a new form in your office, and there's going to be some changes in the flow and some differences. But I think as you adapt the flow to how you treat the patients and when you bring people back to the OR, it ends up really being a time-neutral procedure, because although there ends up being 2 minutes more in the laser suite, because it really ends, once you're comfortable with the procedure, that's about how long it is to walk in, dock, treat, and walk out. That 2 minutes that you spend in the laser suite is kind of saved in terms of the predictability and what you have in the OR at the time of surgery. So I do think, Mark, your description of kind of like it's what when Phaco developed, there were a lot of people who said, look, my extra caps are every bit as good as Phaco, why should I switch? And then over time, the technology kind of became more and more accessible, and I think we'll see a similar kind of thing with Femto over time, too.
I think the difference in that is that the analogy I can make is that the extra cap was definitely a big difference going from extra cap to Phaco in terms of surgical outcome and safety. We haven't seen that kind of transcendental kind of a move in Femto from Phaco. So I think there's a bit of a difference in terms of the analogy there. So we have a little bit more time for the data to prove itself out for us, at least for me.
Well, thank you, guys. I want to do a quick poll of the group here. How many of you have had patients spontaneously ask about this without you bringing it up in discussion preoperatively?
Well, I certainly have.
You have? I'm sure you
have. Patients come every day, though.
I have not yet.
You have not yet?
No.
And this is Dr. Mark Bleacher. Thank you all for joining us, and we appreciate you being here for this joint program between Wills Eye Hospital and Medscape.